Okay. I thought we'd say a little bit about the Haggadah, take a break from Ksubis. But it's funny, I give this shir on the Haggadah when philosophically I'm almost opposed to it. To say a little Vartlach in the Haggadah, because I believe that the entire purpose of the Seder is the Abdurah says, B'shah Shematza Umar Munachim Lefanecha, when the time the Matzah Umar in front of you, you could teach your kids more about Amuna than at any time throughout the entire year. The power of the Seder is an incredible power. So my own personal Seder, I say very little Vartlach, I say mostly Dvarim of Amuna. So I thought that today I would give over Hashkafis and Torahs on the Haggadah, but primarily they would be focused on those aspects of Amuna, of philosophy, Hashkacha Pratis, etc., etc., and I would encourage everybody to do that. But with all that, I think that there is a tremendous amount just, you know, coming off of the words of the Haggadah. So I have here a number of different Torahs, about six or seven, which we'll share in the short time that we have. And I was kind enough to do extra photocopies, so in your own time you could really embellish and go beyond what we have. So the first thing we'll speak about is the Charoses itself, which I think is very, very chashuv, right? So there are two reasons, just briefly. This is taken from the Haggadah, not the Haggadah, the Sefer called Yoruch Mo'adim, which is Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. He has unbelievable stuff throughout the entire Haggadah about Pesach. Please, come on in. Come. Here, just bring two chairs over. So here, there's two chairs over here. Huh? Okay, so the Charoses is the following. There are two reasons given. If you look, there's one in the two. I put it there, Rabbi Levi Omer Zecher LeTapuach, it's to commemorate the apples. What we'll see with the moment. And Rabbi Yochanan Omer Zecher LeTit, that means to commemorate the cement and our back-breaking labor. So Abaye says, Hilchach, therefore, Tzarech LeKuyeh, you need to make it in a way that it is sweet, add apples, which is one of my daughter's favorite activities, Vitzarech LeSmuchei. On the other hand, it also needs LeSmuchei, it needs to be tart, to look like a cement of sorts. So there are two different reasons as to why we have the Charoses. But Rav Yerucham is bothered by the following, V'yesh lovin, eich mekayimim bezin yonim ha-sochim zedzeh b'dover echem. How do you have these two contradictory ideas within one? On the one hand, we have the Charoses, which is for the purpose of what? Which is for the purpose of the great times they had, that they were able to have six kids at once. It's miraculous. I know somebody who had three at once. And on the other hand, it was to commemorate the slavery, which was this back-breaking work. So you have this duality within one. And that's the question that he poses, oh, right here in front of it. Tzarech Bior, if you go to the end of this page, Eich Marivim Mar B'Masuk. How do you combine the bitter and the sweet? We do with chocolate. It's not what the big deal is. B'Masuk B'Mar. U'mekayim Tarte Desasri Adodei B'Bazachas. How do you fulfill these two things all at once? Turning over to the next page. Okay, so he begins like this. A beautiful idea that he develops. V'nira Levayra Inyan. B'tov tam vidas. To understand this in a logical way, behekte mashivinu le'el, what we brought earlier from another source, Mirabenu b'chai b'karakemach. B'schus habigtocho negalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. Ultimately, we were redeemed because of the confidence that we had in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shekenam ru b'medrash tehillim, elecha za'aku, to you we cried out v'nimlatu, when we were redeemed. V'kol kach lamo, why so much? B'cha bitchu v'lo b'ashu. And you, we had confidence, we weren't embarrassed. Hakol b'schus habitachon. Everything was b'schus habitachon. So what was the bitachon? How did we show that we have bitachon? So first he brings this marvelous story from Yosef. You see within the bracketed piece over here, he tells over the story of Yosef HaTzadik. And it's well known that Yosef HaTzadik, everybody learns this when they're kids, this fascinating story that Yosef HaTzadik is sold down to slavery, and he's sold down to Egypt. And Hashem smiles on him that within the journey going down to Egypt, He places him in a caravan that has a sweet smell. And the spices that Yosef has is a very, very sweet smell. And therefore, oh, Yosef, it's not so bad. So you've got to wonder, right? You're 17 years old, you're a senior, you're on the varsity basketball team, you have all the whole world looking at you, and everybody loves you because you're very good looking. And then all of a sudden, your brothers come and they chop you up and they throw you into a pit of snakes and scorpions. They sell you to the Midianites, they sell you to the Ishmaelim. It's awful. Oh, by the way, it smells nice on the way down. Like, it doesn't really, you know, when you hear it from the Rebbe's in third grade, you, oh, great, it smells. But really, what's going on? What's happening with Yosef HaTzadik? And this, by the way, is a great, you know, introduction to the whole Seder also, because this is how we all wound up down in Mitzrayim. So he quotes here somebody I never heard of. the second paragraph. V'umatu mishmeya da'agoyin Rav Mordechai Pergamtsky. I don't know this. The omek hanakudahi shebishas Hester ponim kazeh. At the moment of great darkness, where Hashem has hidden himself from him, like turned away, really, here lo kodesh baruch hu ponim. He also showed him a little bit of light. He says, listen, I'm going with you down to Egypt. Meaning Hashem, it's like Hashem was smiling on me a little bit. Like even in your toughest times, I got your back. And I'm watching over you with Hashkacha Pratis. Yeah, you have to go to Egypt. It's a gzera. Go back to the Brit Ben Abisarim. But no, I haven't abandoned you. As it says in Tehillim, even when you walk in the valley of death, don't fear it. Why? Because I am with you. And therefore, the Reach HaTov ofen lahafik tzaro arav. So this good, sweet smell, it kind of like sent a message to Yosef that even in those tough times, I'm still with you. So that's the message for Yosef Asad. Turn now to Dalet. So therefore, now we go back to our story. Kimo Kain, so too, Yesh Levayer, Inyan Hanes Hagodol Shel Tachas HaTapuach HaRosecha. What happened to Klal Yisrael? The women were able to give birth to 6 children at a time underneath the apple tree. Was it Tapuach an apple? I don't know. They probably didn't have apples in Egypt. I think it's an incorrect translation, but nevertheless, that's what we're going with today, okay? Shaya b'Mitzrayim be'eith shibudom. That's what they had in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, when they were slaves. Shebishas Hester Panim. At the time of great darkness, where it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his back on us, Hirelim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Heres Panim. At that same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shown us a little bit of his light. She'anoshim Yoledzes Banim Tachas Tatapuach. The women would give birth to the children underneath that tree, below Eitzah, without sadness. V'lohi Kiru B'Hadamitrim. And they were able to avoid the detection of the Egyptians. K'moshi Yitzker Rashbam, like the Rashbam mentions. U'lishlemas Inyan Nati Kan. That's why we're going to bring the whole Gemara. I mean, he is Rabbi Yeruchim. Shagilon Chazal Goral Haaretz Panim. He shows us the greatness of Haaretz Panim. Shusham B'toch Hester Panim. That was there within the darkness. And the Gemara says, B'shasho Lachis L'shov Mayim. When the women would go to draw water for their husbands, Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed them a tremendous light. Mizam Lehem Dogim Tanim. They were able to get small fish. Bekadein. V'shos Maksim Mayim U'Maksim Dogim. They got half water and half fish. Ubos, Vishufatos, Shtei Kederos, and they would heat them up in 2 different places. One of heat and one of fish, hot water. And they would bring it to their husbands in the fields, etc. When they got pregnant, this is where they would go. Tachas HaTapuach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would slend them that it would be able to hide from the detection of the Mitzrayim. So now we'll conclude. You don't have to read the whole thing, but if you'd like to on your own time, it's kedai to look inside and to read the whole thing. So what is he saying? Essentially, what is the charoses commemorating? Yes, it was bittersweet. It was bittersweet, the time in Egypt. Yes, we were under the rulership of Egypt. And yes, you're supposed to remember the difficult times of the slavery, and that's the Zecher L'Tit. But while we remember the slavery at that same exact time, we're supposed to also remember that Hashem was saying hello to me the entire time. Hashem, in the darkness of Egypt, in the very darkness, which was, you can't imagine, it was the concentration camps, not for 6 years, but it was the concentration camp for hundreds of years. At that exact moment, he was still showing them, I love you, by showing them that even when you are in the valley of death, I'm going to show you that you're going to be able to have 6 children at a time, that you're going to be able to hide from the Egyptians, you're going to be able to bring up the fish from the water for your husbands. You're going to be able to get pregnant. You're going to be able to continue Klal Yisrael. And that's such an important message to give over to children. You know, everybody, you know, we live in an era of black and white. It's either, oh, this is terrible, or this is great. The truth is, it's somewhere in between, right? There's Reese's peanut butter cups. We have a little bit of both. It's bittersweet chocolate. It's, even in the bitterness, you have to always look for the sweetness. And in our own lives, again, I believe in this very much so in the Agada, the personal narrative is critical. That you have to go look back to your life, which you thought something was bad, and find out there was really Hashem showing you within that badness that there was good. I had a friend, he was supposed to go to Bar Ilan University, and somehow he didn't get in. He felt terrible, so instead he had to go to another yeshiva, and now I think he's still learning in Kollel 20 years later. But you know, and he told me, he says, I wish I can go back to the person who didn't allow me to get into university and thank them. Now, I give credit to the person. The person who didn't allow him to get in didn't want to be on his bad list when he didn't get in, and didn't take the credit later on when he succeeded. But the point is, everybody's got to find in their own lives their own personal narrative as to where they were able to see the darkness, I'm sorry, the light within the darkness. So that's shtickle number one. You see all that in the Charoses. You can talk about that at any point in the Seder. You can talk about that at the beginning of the Siman. You can talk about that, you know, when you dip the maror in the Charoses. There's a number of opportunities to talk about that. Okay. The next shtickle is a Haggadah I found from this Haggadah Shalmei Chagiga. Again, I had to thank everybody. This gave me over Shabbos. I was just looking through the Haggadahs, and I figured I would share this with everybody today. So here it says, Chayav Liro Ses Atzmo Kilu Yotzei Mitzrayim. A person has to view oneself. I have to thank my daughter also for doing all these photocopies last night. I don't even know how to use my machine, so that's why Hashem allowed me to have children. Anyway, so Chayav Liro Ses Atzmo Kilu Yotzei Mitzrayim. You have to view oneself as if you have left Mitzrayim. Chayav Zeh Ulai Yish Levinu Ba'ofen Chadash. She says, perhaps I want to learn this in a new way. What does it mean that a person must view themselves as if they left Mitzrayim? Ayin Shmos Rabba Sof Perek Dalet. So he quotes a Medrash, turning over to Ayin Vav here. The Amar B'zeh HaLoshen. So Moshe Rabbeinu, after 62 years, did I do the math correct? No. He was 18 and he was 80. 80 minus 18, 62 years. I'm doing good. Anyway, so it probably was 79 because he escaped when he was 80. There is a missing year. Rabbi Reisman has that as one of his riddles. Amla Yisrael, Hechen Atam Olichen. Yisro says to Moshe, Moshe, where you going, buddy? You're taking my grandkids. So Amalei, let me try. I'm going back to Egypt. Amalei, Osam Shem B'Mitzrayim, Mevakshin Lot says, all those people in Egypt, they want to leave. Vat Malichin, and you're going there? You know, you don't want to go there. Can you imagine, like, you know, books have been written about Gedolim, who went back to Germany in 39 and 40. You know, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and the other people, some people escaped, but like they went back. Well, Yisrael said, no, what are you doing? There's a Holocaust going on in Egypt. What are you doing? So Amalei, Lamachari Nasidin Lotzis. Velamodal Harsina. So Yisrael, so Moshe says to Yisrael, what do you mean? Tomorrow they're getting out and they're going to wind up on Harsinai. Lishmo mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to hear the words of God, say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. To hear the words of Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Tzchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who has taken you out of Egypt. Ubeni lo, and he says, Ubeni lo Yishmu Kamohem, and my children aren't going to hear this. Meaning that I want them to hear the whole thing. I want them to hear the whole story. We were in Egypt, we were enslaved, and we got taken out. Miyad, immediately, Vayomer Yisrael Moshe, immediately Yisrael says to Moshe, Lech L'shalom. I hear you. What a father-in-law. This is not the norm. They're not the normal Jewish, maybe because he wasn't Jewish. That was because they're not the normal Jewish father-in-law. This is the response of the father-in-law who wasn't one of us. Ubabir Divrei Moshe Nira. What does it mean? Kabechina Pratit, the specific nature. When we hear the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the level in which we are able to say the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha is exactly dependent upon the value in which we value the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'lachei, therefore, lo harei hasagas Anochi Hashem Elokecha shel elu sheyatzu karezu shel elu shelo yatzu. The people who left have a much stronger feeling towards God than those who never left. Lefish af hayu lo sham, because they weren't there. Heaven, understand this. You understand? If you were in Egypt and you got taken out of Egypt, you have a totally different relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a totally different understanding of the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha than one who wasn't taken out of Egypt. Umamela, therefore, poshet ki ikar hu kabbalas haTorah. The primary objective of us leaving Mitzrayim was not just to get out of Mitzrayim, but it was the destination that was critical. What's the destination? That of Kabbalah Satorah. Umavur b'chenech mitzvah shin vav, shetola ha-tafel be'ikr. They hang the tafel, what is secondary, on the ikr, on the primary. Uksiv, v'zelecha ha'os, this shall be for you a sign, ki anochi shalachticha, that I have sent you out. When Moshe and Hashem were in the dialogue back and forth, Moshe says, why should they be taken out? So Hashem responds, this mountain is going to be a sign. What's this mountain referencing? This mountain of Harsinai when they get the Torah. Therefore, in order to achieve the ultimate level of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Alborov on the Creator's, we must be within, subsumed within the principle of Asher Otzeischa. that which has been taken out of Mitzrayim, Shehina Tafel, which is the Tafel. So it changes the paradigm. It's not about leaving school. It's not, the last day of school, I felt. It's about where you're headed. It's about the destination. You see, it's Mitzrayim is Givaldik, but it's really about the destination of Kabbalah Satorah. So now we understand why Yisro and Moshe have this dialogue. Moshe says, I want my children to be part of this Hotzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim in order to feel you, so that when Kabbalah Satorah comes, they're able to accept it that much greater. They're able to partake in this Anochi Hashem Elokecha Val Pizeh Muvan Dekeven Delosagi Banochi Shalosh Nakeid. That since it comes clear that if it's not enough that we weren't part of the Anochi in the past, we weren't there, like Chazal says in Rashi Alapasik, B'yom Hazet Ba'u Midbar Sinai, on this day we took out of Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, we were taken into the Midbar. We have to view the Torah as if we receive it today. If we don't view ourselves then, as if we have left Egypt, we're lacking on the Asher Hotzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And therefore the Kabbalah Satorah is lacking. So you see something beautiful. We have to view ourselves as we left Mitzrayim. We have to view ourselves and attach ourselves to this moment of Asher Hotzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim in order that we could say Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The whole notion of us getting out of Egypt is critical. Therefore, we have to almost like the idea of the Seder night is to create a vision within a person that he has left Mitzrayim. You know, Sfardim do something beautiful. You know, there's a machlekes as to whether we say Liros Esatmo Kilu Yatsim Mitzrayim Kedei Laharos. We have to view ourselves, or do we have to show ourselves? Meaning, make a visual. So the Sfardim, they take their matzahs, they put it on their back, and they walk around. They also hit each other with scallions. Okay, you don't have to go, we don't have to do that. But the idea of like giving that image that we have left Mitzrayim creates that we have the ability to mekabel Torah that much more. And that could be why, at the end, Mamela, we're supposed to just at the end of all the agadas, many of the agadas, they all have shir ashir, because we have that, when you view yourself as if you left Mitzrayim, when you attach yourself to that moment, so all of a sudden, we burst into a love song for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's critical that we have to view ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim. And that's what the Pasuk, that's what it says in the Haggadah, as we started this particular maimer, where it says that, Chai Liro sets off, we have to view yourself. Because the more one views themselves as they left Mitzrayim, the more one is able to appreciate the next stage, which is the Iker, which is Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, next shtickle. The Or Gedaliyahu. Unbelievable Or Gedaliyahu. It's on next week's Parsha, so you could use it on Tzav, but really he's got like five shtiklach at the end on the Haggadah. So here he says some beautiful Gedal Yeshur. He was one of the first great American rabbis. So, Behaggadah anu omrim ve'ilu lahotzino HaKadosh Baruch Mitzrayim ha'enu v'anenu v'nei v'anenu m'shubudim hainu. If HaKadosh Baruch didn't take them out of Mitzrayim, we'd still be there today. That's essentially what it means. V'nira d'memrezu nemra be'ikr al ge'ulas ha'nefesh. It's not a national geula. It's not a national redemption. We're talking about the personal narrative, the personal redemption. If he wouldn't have taken out of Mitzrayim, we, the geula, our own personal geula, never would have happened. What does that mean? Kimavur b'svarim hakdoshim, like it says in the Holy Svarim. Shu meshubadim in Mitzrayim begufam ubenafshim. When we were meshubad to Mitzrayim, it wasn't just that we couldn't get out; we were slaves, but we were slaves to ourselves. And I'll explain what that means in a moment. For example, you might have a couple of children who are slaves to some devices. Sure, right? It's possible that there might be somebody in this room who's addicted to some device. I can't imagine in this yeshiva, but in other places they have people who are addicted to their phones, right? They're avadim. In the end of the day, they're slaves. V'lachein omrim, therefore we say, al geulasenu, al pedus nafshenu, on the geula, but on the redemption of ourselves. U'kvar dibarnu bazeh kama pa'amim. He says, he spoke about this a number of times. Demashim, maybe Rashi, Parashas, Yitro, Mechilta. Rashi brings a mechilta. It was impossible for a slave to run away from Mitzrayim. The reason why it's called Mitzrayim is the word Mitzarim means borders, boundaries. You can't get out. It's like Hotel California. You could check in anytime you'd like, but you can never leave. Right? Anyway, Girsa D'Yankus. De'ein ha'perish ra'kipshut. It means exactly what it says. Ella, she'ubnei Yisrael mekusharim l'Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael was attached to the land of Mitzrayim, not to the fact that we were there, but to the ideals of Mitzrayim. U'kemo shetano acher shi'atzum Mitzrayim. Like we said, Zacharnos, they get out of Mitzrayim. Remember the fish we had there? Zacharnos adaga shenachol b'Mitzrayim chino. We ate it for free. It was givaldik. Do you remember that restaurant we used to eat in? Maybe Rashi misifrei chinam min hamitzvos, free from mitzvos. Kikein Hashem. What word is that? I don't know. Propaganda. There it is. Propaganda. Kitov hu aflios eved b'Mitzrayim. We used to, they dress it up, how givaldik it was to be a slave in Mitzrayim. The commercials, the advertisements, it made it look so good. V'lachein lo ratu lazov Mitzrayim. Therefore, we didn't want to abandon Mitzrayim. We know 4/5, tragically, of the Jews did not want to leave Mitzrayim, and they were stuck there. Ki lo yichlu lazov esatov, va'osher es mishal Mitzrayim, lufi dayitam, shenetz pasu b'hashkafas, who they were wrapped around in that vision. Ula mashal. This is I'll never forget my first day in one of my first months in BMT when one of the rebbeim said this mashal. Ima yom Mashiach ba'olano yom. Let's say Mashiach came today. Mirtz Hashem. Kama kashya davel is parid mikol hatainugim va'anuchim shemukushar manu lehem begolus America. How hard would it be for us to leave America? Like all of a sudden, oh, you got to go. Really? Do I have to leave? I got Wi-Fi. I got 3G. We got Carlos and Gabby's, like, it's not easy. The Mitzrayim caused us to remove the Hashem from us. We were able to eat the fish, not doing mitzvahs. But from that gullus, we were redeemed, and we were able to be free. Who is free? No one who's free is that who involves and engages himself in learning. In mitzvahs. Who is truly free? So this is a very chashuva or gedaliyahu, where he says that when it says, that we still have the obligation to look around us to make ourselves as if we are free. That's what the true geula is. It's called the geulas atzmi. It's our own personal redemption. The personal redemption is that we take away all of our stuff and we lose that slavery. That's one of the reasons why we eat matzah on Pesach. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Because matzahs, it's not attached, it doesn't rise. It's not anything of real substance. And therefore we could subsist on just matzah. That is true cheres. If you look on the footnote, he's got a very funny ha'ara about ein ben cheren ela b'mishi asik b'torah. There's nobody who's free except for who learns. We think that the guys who learn, they have all data. The brisk gevaldik, I'll stay till 10. He criticizes them. He goes down. But the idea of personal freedom is not being attached to anything. There's a great movie that I have to reference. I can't make you watch the whole thing, but again, Gersh the Ankusa, Shawshank Redemption. So I believe in the movie Shawshank Redemption that Red had color. Some people can't be tied up, right? Even when he was in prison, he wasn't tied up. He had his own personal geula because he was much larger than the prison. And then when he got out. Also, if you ever read the book for Fear No Evil by Natan Sharansky, in the gulag of Russia, he did his own thing. It's really remarkable. Like he controlled his own mind. This concept, Geulas Nafshi, I recommend seeing that movie, and I recommend reading the book, Fear No Evil Before Pesach. But this idea of personal redemption, of being in charge of yourself, is really what one of the great narratives of the story is, that we should not feel that we are attached to anything except for the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, next one is from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab has a beautiful idea, where in the Haggadah it says, Baruch HaMokom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah Amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu, Keneged Arbabonim. So right before we say the Arbabonim, we have to say, why does it say Baruch HaMokom? What's the idea of Mokom? So Rav Schwab says, Hinei Akdama Zos L'Sipur Yisrael L'Habonim, Tzavchas Darshan. He yells to be Darshan. Lavin Man Yano Matam Yesh. What's the reason why we talk about the Arbabonim? And this is similar to an idea we said before. Nivinira, Shinei Matzinu Sheba Mokom Siddek Hadin. When we, Chas V'Shalom, lose a close relative, we use the word hamakim. We say the words hamakim, minachem, eschem, besok, shah, right? That kind of thing. But hamakim really references the name of God. Hamakim yirachim. Vabir bezeh. Shebekol eis tzara v'tzuk. At any moment of tragedy. Nir lechor le'ayin ha'odim ki'ilu b'kivyochol yesh chala. Why do we say hamakim? Because when we lose a close relative at that moment, we think there's an opening where Hashem can't be found. Like, how could Hashem be in this place where somebody close to me died. So therefore the appeasement is Hamakom Hashem fills up all the places. Therefore Vilache. Omrim Shamakum Yeh Be'ezra Lahorus Sha'anu Maminim Shemali Kol Aretz Kvodo. So we say Hamakom Yenachem that Hashem fills up the whole place. V'leis Atzer Poneminei, and there's no place in the world that is empty from him. V'cholim Mekolim B'lishum Chalav. So therefore, why do we say Baruch Hamakom before the Arba Banim? Lo Yaleinu, we shouldn't have a child who's a Rasha. But if you have a child who's a Russia, somebody smart once told me, as I'm walking to shul with him, he goes, you're only as happy as your saddest child. Right? You're only, especially to women. You're only as happy, men, they go to work, they forget about it, but the women that lives with them all day, it's in the Kishkas. You're only as happy as your saddest child. We're about to do the part of the Arba Banim. And there are many kinds of children that we have. And we're about to speak about the Rasha. So when you think about the Rasha, you think that there's no place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that particular place. We're about to fulfill the pasuk of Ve'igadat Levincha, and you're going to tell over to your children. Ve'igadat Levincha, hina yeshnam anashim shelo zachu lepri betin. There are people who lo aleinu never had children. The fifth son. Ve'gam yeshnam elu shehagadosh lahem hu rachmana latzlan l'haben harasha. Or they're saying it over to the ben harasha. And it's important to remember that if you have a full table, then not everybody has that full table. Asher noyach lo l'ha'av below also aben. The father would rather be without the son. Chas v'shalom l'chein, en yuchon l'kayim mitzvah zu. They can't fill this mitzvah. V'alzeh matzdikin et sadin at that particular moment, mikodav omrim pizka zu. We say, Baruch ha'mokum, he's here as well. V'chein elu shirim chas v'shalom ben Rasha. Menachem z'atzman ba'omer, Baruch shen asan Torah l'amo Yisrael. Hashem gave the Torah to Gans Klal Yisrael, to all Klal Yisrael. Asher b'hem tshuva, we have a tshuva to the Rasha. U'kereged arbabonim dibra Torah. The Torah speaks to all the children. So we say, Baruch ha'mokum. Why? Because if you have no children, chas v'shalom. And then we say, Baruch Shanasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael, there's an answer in the Torah for everybody. The Torah is vast. The Torah is broad. All the answers are in the Torah. It's just the way you formulate that Torah to each and every child. So this is a beautiful idea of Rav Schwab. And Rav Schwab has seen many people without children. Rav Schwab, of course, is a survivor of the Germany, and he came over from the Holocaust, so he's able to see that. So in this generation, you say Baruch HaMokum for those people who have the tables without the children, and Hashem Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas and Torah L'Amo Yisrael, because we have answers for everybody, and that's the vastness of the Torah. Okay, another personal favorite, I think this is from the Haggadah of Rav Mirsky. So it says, Kineged Arba Banim. So we have, these answers are kind of funny, if you think about it. Right, that we say the tzaddik comes and asks us a question. So we say to him, "You know what? Eat after the afikom." So that's the response to the tzaddik. What's the response? So here, I believe this is Rimersky. I don't remember who says this, but you have to whatever. And I think it's not Rimersky. It's in some other haggadah. So he says like this. I wish I could give credit. I should have written it. My fault. So he asks. Kfar amdu al kach, shetzarech bir mahi atshuva. What is the answer? Shemashivin lachachem bekach. What are we answering the wise man? Shomulo emaftir nachar pesach afikom. We don't have anything to eat after the afikom. Dahainu shasul lechol acher korban pesach shumaychol. We know that that was true by the korban pesach. You not eat after the korban pesach. Vapshata pash shomulo as kol dinei pesach at emaftir. Why do we have to say all that? Okay, skip to the next page. I'll give you the short version of this. V'im kein in column one. So he says like this, when you eat a new item, when I have a peanut butter square for dessert, you forget the steak you had for dinner. Right? Because when it comes to food, we only remember you can only taste what's the last thing in your mouth. And the aftertaste is that which is the last food you ate. You don't taste the steak anymore. You remember it was geshmak going in, but the taste is gone. That makes us forget the prior food. Therefore, we're told that you should specifically have the afikomen when you're full. At the end of food. Now, so far so good. So the reason why we have to conclude with the afikomen is because that's the taste we want to obviously keep in our mouth forever, because if you have something afterwards, you're going to forget that taste. So what's so important about this? V'kan, I'll skip to the next paragraph. Haben Shoel, the Ben asks, Madu etzivsa ha-Torah kol kach harbe mitzvahs kizbezeche yitzias mitzrayim. The question is, maha edus v'achukim. Why do I have all these v'mishpatim, all of these mitzvahs that are connected to yitzias mitzrayim? U'madolo espik l'kach dover echad bilva. Just have one thing. One mitzvah, shoyin, finished. So then the father comes in, and you guys are the father, mothers. We don't have after the Korban Pesach Afikom. What does that mean? You can't have anything else afterwards. Madua. Because it's critical that Yitzias Mitzrayim stays with us all of our lives. There are Sheish Tzchiros, six things which one must remember each and every day. One of those things we must remember each and every day is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shayidei Shenechol Pesach Umatzah. Niskaras Yetzias Mitzrayim Bemeshach Kol Hashanah. By eating the Pesach and the Matzah, we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim the entire day, the entire year. Vimnachol Meichel Acher. And if I eat another food afterwards, Tamu Yashkich, Satam Michael. You're going to forget what you ate prior. You're going to forget what the Afikomen was. The Hainu was Tam of Pesach, the entire Tam of Pesach. And you need to have the Tam of Pesach, because Pesach, we'll see in a moment what's so critical about that. Which is about Yetzias Mitzrayim, to inculcate within each and every person the Amunah. I want to eat after the Afikomen. You're going to forget the whole reason why we're here. Yetzias Mitzrayim. We also see, but mamish for this reason, see if Sotar Allah says, Harbe mitzvah zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we have so many mitzvahs corresponding to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And if I could recommend, look also in the last Ramban in Parshas Bo by Tefillin, he says something similar. We sometimes forget who is the driver of this world, who is the chauffeur, who is the mover and shaker of the entire world. Of course you forget, because we think we're in charge. You got to work, you got to make money, right? The most normal thing is, I'm in charge of my own money. We're not. The Avshanu Manichim B'Tefillin. We put on Tefillin, Zeich Litzrayim. Kedei Shiniz, Kesherak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Manichim. When I put on Tefillin, I remember that. But afterwards we forget. We need to have constant reminders. Vote discourse and additional reminders. Because they're always, after I have tefillin, I move on to my next thing, so I forget. Right? It's another aftertaste. When I have my tefillin, hopefully I remember. Hopefully, right? But the second I take on my tefillin, I move on to the next thing. So I have to have another reason for Yetzias Mitzrayim. I see a mezuzah, I remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so on and so forth. Okay? So this is what we're answering. What this is really saying is that when we're asking, when the Chacham comes and says, no, why do I have all these Eidos, Chuk, Mishpatim, just give me one mitzvah? No, because you can't eat anything after the Afikomen. Because the way a normal person lives, we're in the moment. And when we're in the moment, we forget what we did before. Therefore, we need constant reminders of Yetzias Mitzrayim to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's driving the world. The Ramban at the end of Parashat Bo, I just referenced a moment ago by Tefillin, speaks about why do we have so many mitzvahs about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because it is the one time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed in all the grandeur to the entire world his Hashgacha Pratis. Not only that he created the world, not only that he exists, but he continues to run the world in a very specific manner. So therefore we have to do all these mitzvahs corresponding to that particular event. And that's why we don't do anything after the Afikomen, so that that taste stays with us the entire night and Vayter. Okay. Let's move over to the next page, which just says Mem Dalet on top. The Russia. The guy who wears jeans pants. Anyway, if you don't get the joke, then you have to watch that video. Stuff people say at the Seder, it's Kedai. Anyway. Chas v'shalom, there's nothing against jeans. It's just a funny joke. Anyway, okay. Eloi Hashem lo yenigal. If the Russia was there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. If you're smiling, you get it. If you don't smile, then please make a note to watch it. Okay. Funny story. One time, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and we do day and a half, my family. And my in-laws are doing a day. So at the Seder, we watch the video. Okay. really livened up the Seder. If they were there, they wouldn't have been redeemed. Ha'amuna b'geula hu tenai l'nigala l'schuspa. Belief in the geula is the reason why we're redeemed. But if you don't believe in the geula, l'kishetava geula, guess what? Enu mistarefes l'negolim, also l'negolim. You're not going to be redeemed. Raya l'kach, a proof, hevi, baal, shibol elekit, mimaisa, hashlish, shel ha-melech achav. I have a story about what happened with Melech Achav. Shelo he'emin b'nevuas ha-yeshua shel Elisha. When Elisha comes and tells him there's going to be some sort of curing of the famine, bizman harov agadol, bo'osa shot, sara, niva, Elisha, v'omer, ki machar tavo yeshua, tomorrow there's going to be redemption, we're going to have food, via muzzle l'rov. Shenemar koyam arashem keis macher seh solus b'shekel sasayim, etc., etc. Shlisha shalamech lo amin divrei Navi, so he didn't believe the Navi. V'gam legali galim. He laughed on it. V'amr hinei Hashem asa arubas b'shamayim ayuda hayiya adavar hazeh. Is this going to happen? Elisha says it's absolutely going to happen. The next day it happened, and it didn't happen. So based on this next paragraph, hisber bal shiboli lekit. That's a tshuva levena rasha. Ilu ayo Hashem lo yanigal. If you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. Why not? Because what did the rasha ultimately lack? He ultimately lacked belief in the Gula. Vizibu, she talks to your Russia, Inamamin, Omalo, Balagadish, Eloah, you betray him. Lo, haya, turning over the page. Lo, haya, ro, illegal. Elah, Gula, Hayesu, Shometesosa, it was gone from him He would have died with the other people who died. And this is critical always to think about the emunah that we must have in the geula. We say in Bodim, what do we say? Kilishuascha kivinu kolayom. Why are we also going to be redeemed? Because we ask for it each and every day. If you ask for it, you're going to get it. If you don't believe in it, you'll never get it. I heard from Moshe Shapiro a number of years ago. He says that when we, chas v'shalom, pass on to the next world, we're going to be asked numerous questions. Right? One of the questions was, do you sit and learn? One of the questions is, asakta, did you see peace of Yeshua? Which is the fourth question. So each of the questions corresponds to the Seder of one of the Sedarim in Shas. There are six questions corresponding to the six Sidrei Shas. So for some reason, Tzipit Yeshua corresponds to Nezikin, which is the fourth, right? Zman Nakat. Zroim Me'ed Moed Noshim Nezikin. Tzipit Yeshua. So what's the connection between Tzipit Yeshua and Nezikin? Like I understand the other ones, like by Zmanim, did you set aside time for learning? That makes sense, right? Talking about Zmanim. So what's the connection between Tzipit Yeshua and Nezikin? Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, I heard this, it was incredible, 1999 in Shari Tefillah. He says, because how does Nezikin work? I'm not a lawyer. But if I was a lawyer, this is the rule. If somebody damages me, the only time I can ever collect the wages is if I mun for the wages, for the damages. If I don't make a demand, there's no court case. Right? In criminal law, it's the state versus blah, blah, blah. In civil law, it's always Aleph versus Beis, Reuven versus Shimon. But if Reuven doesn't come and demand it, he doesn't get it. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zela Bazach, same thing when it comes to the Yeshua, to the ultimate Geula. If we don't demand it, it's never going to happen. The Rasha shows us Fakert, right? We learn from the Rasha. You could have learned from everybody. Chacham, Allah made me call Adam. What do we learn from the Rasha? The reason why the Rasha would have been stuck in Mitzrayim because he didn't yearn for the Geula. He didn't think it was going to happen. He had a moon in the Geula. But if we have a moon in the Geula, more than that, if we demand the Geula, that's something that's going to Mirtz Hashem come. So that's what we could learn from the Rasha. Okay. Continuing into the next one, I took a larger piece and I put it together. We say in the Haggadah, "Va'anisa va'amarta l'tnei Hashem alokecha arami avidovi." Right, this is the conversation that that was had in, when we bring the Bikurim, which of course is referencing Yaakov's sojourn to Lavan. Great word, sojourn. Okay, so what does it mean? "Va'yagar sham b'msei ma'at va'yisham l'goy gadol atzim v'rav." So what does it mean? "Va'yisham l'goy gadol atzim v'rav." Says the Haggadah, "Melame sheYisrael mitzuyanim sham." Klal Yisrael is mitzuyan. Now, everybody knows mitzuyan really means excellent, right? Because on your report cards, if you get a mitzuyan, that means excellent. But really, mitzuyan means that they stood out. And what does it mean they stood out? So this Medrash tells us that because of four things. The Medrash Vayikra Rabba says there were four things that made Klal Yisrael stand out. Bishvil arba dvarim negal Yisrael Mitzrayim. Number one, shelo shinu ushtmam, they didn't change their name. Ve'as lashonam, they didn't change their language. Velo lashon hara, they didn't speak lashon hara. And velo nimtzu b'neihem echem mehen paretz be'erchem. They did not get engaged in behavior that was inappropriate, right, in terms of relations. You've got to ask yourself many questions. Another medrash says that they didn't change their clothing, and that's why they were redeemed. But if you look at the order here, it's so funny. What's the number one thing on the list? They didn't change their names. Number two, they didn't speak lashon hara. Meaning, what was the mitzuyin about them? What was mitzuyin about them is they remained independent. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their language. They kind of remained independent and stood out. But why is that the reason for the geula? I would think that they didn't speak lashon hara. They didn't engage in behaviors that were inappropriate. Or they did the mitzvah of bila. But yet, we're saying the reason why they were redeemed is because they kept their names. My name is Eliezer. I always have a Hebrew name, right? Baruch Hashem. I speak English. But what was so important about this? So it's a beautiful kliyakar. We're not going to do the kliyakar. If you wanted to do the kliyakar, you could do it on your own time. But we're going to do this Meshech Chachma. This Meshech Chachma, Rav Olshin quotes Rav Yechezkel Abramsky, who says this Meshech Chachma was written Beruach HaKodesh. And through this Meshech Chachma, we're going to understand what was so significant about them not changing their names and not changing their language. It's a remarkable idea. And I think it's such an important idea to give over to your children, both on a psychological level, a metaphysical level, and on a spiritual level. So you have all of everything involved here. So it says like this. It says, "Hine etzel Avram v'Yitzchak lo matzanu zeh rak b'Yaakov." When it says "Vayomer Elokim by Maros Halayla," when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yaakov at night, it's It's the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to one of our forefathers in the evening, in the nighttime. The reason why, because Yaakov was about to enter into Mitzrayim. He was leaving Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem appears to him in the evening, at night. Lachin boy love his galus elukus balayla laharos, to show him sh'af balayla, even at night, b'chashkes agalus, in the darkness of the exile, shorah shechina b'Yisrael. The shechina is going to illuminate on Klal Yisrael. Kimo she'amru, like we said, galulu bavel, shechina imahim. When we went to Bavel, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with us. So now we see Zeh Avram tikkun tefillah shachar. So Avram was misakeh and he established the tefillah of shachar. Yitzchak mincha, v'Yaakov arvis, v'hein evarim u'pedarim. What is marv? It corresponds to the limbs and the fats. Shein kriven ben b'yom ben b'layla. That started by day and continued to the evening. V'neim rezal she'ein hashchina shora b'chutz la'aretz, rak lami she'yaroa be'eretz Yisrael. The only one who sees the Shekhinah present outside of Israel, of outside of Eretz Yisrael, is one who prior saw it in Eretz Yisrael. Like we say about Yechezkel, Sof Moikot and Lachain, Sof Avoda, Kimo HaKtoris Ve'Evarim. So that's why it compares to the Ktoris and the Evarim. Because the Evarim are the fats that were placed on the Mizbeach during the day which is, represents Eretz Yisrael, continues the night. Shekvar Nishkat V'Nizrak B'Yom, No Egap B'Layla. So bina zev v'lazeh. So understand this. Amar yancha Hashem b'yom tzar. Hashem, listen to me in my time of darkness. Yishalach Hashem Elokei Yaakov shemizman shem b'tzara u'b'chashkas laila. That it's the time of darkness. Yishagvech. I cannot pronounce that word. I'm sorry. Yishagvech Elokei Yaakov shenigla elav b'laila. So here's the problem. We just said a beautiful yisod that Yaakov heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night, because he's on his way to Galus, to show us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with us in the Galus. And then we said a Yisod, that only if you saw, the reason why Yaakov was able to have the Nevuah and the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of Eretz Yisrael, was because he began his prophecy life in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore it's able to continue. They're similar to Mariv, which was patterned after the Evarim and Pedarim, which were placed on the Mizbeach by day. But what about us? We didn't start our journey in Eretz Yisrael. We all started in the Golus. So what Shechina are we attaching ourselves to? Says the Meshech Chachma, an unbelievable idea. When we accept ourselves a Kabbalah from the past, and we go back to the connection of our forefathers, as HaYisraeli who goy eisan asik, then Klal Yisrael is this old nation, strong nation, asher niglu elav elokim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent us into exile, b'yos ha-mikdosh al-mechono, but we with them, we go back to the time when the mikdosh was in its place, ashur ha-shechina ehimehem, where the shechina resided there, gam balayla, even at night. That's if we reconnect to our forefathers. Aval, bizman sheshachachu bris avosechem. When we forget the covenant with our forefathers of Avi Yitzchak and Yaakov, and we're not reconnecting to the time when we were all the way in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis Hamikdash there, ve'enam holchem b'darchem. We don't walk in their ways. As kishem b'fnei atzmam, then we're independent. Halo b'chutz laretz ain shechina shor b'chutz laretz. Then the shechina won't reside with us. Shechina v'nistal kashlim and v'nisunim l'mishaseh v'lavos. Then we're like being chased and degraded. Then we don't view ourselves as this ancient nation. Remarkable idea. When is the Shekhinah going to be with us in this world, here in Chutz Laretz? When we connect to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when we connect to the Beit HaMikdash, when we connect to the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in our land. That's what he says, whoever is in Misabal Yishalayim, Zochav Ro B'Chorbana, because we're reconnecting to what was in the past. But if we reconnect to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then, and only then, we'll be able to have the Shekhinah upon us, which is ultimately to our Geula. So Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, what did they show that they didn't change their names, that they kept Reuven, Reuven? The Medrash says they specifically kept the names Reuven. They kept the name Shimon. They kept those names. They kept the language. Because what was that showing? We're not Mitzrayim. You know who we are? We're connecting to our forefathers. We're connecting to Yaakov. We're connecting back to Eretz Yisrael. We're connecting to the Geula. And because of that, because they maintained their connection to their forefathers, that's why they were able to merit the Geula. Such an important idea. Look at this Tanna Beilio very quickly. We'll develop this further. When we were in Mitzrayim, this Kapsukula of Yashva Yachad, we sat together, we lived in our own communities. We lived in the five towns. We lived in our own little gated communities. Shehayu, that they were kulam ba'aguda achas. We all lived together ba'achdus ve'karsu bris together. Yachad shiyasu gemilas chasadim zem. They create organizations, tom pchei Shabbos, etc. V'yishmu believe bris Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. We kept the bris. V'lavodas aviyim shebashamayim levado. We said we're only serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu v'shloy hinichu lashon beis Yaakov aviyin v'shloy yamdu lashon mitzrim. We were only going to keep the language of Yaakov and not of the mitzrim. Mipnei darchei avodah zarah. Kate said, how'd that work? We served the Kodesh Baruch Levad Mitzrayim V'lo Yom Mishanim L'Shalom. We didn't change our names. The Mitzrim came to us and said, Lo Savdu Es Elokei Mitzrayim. Don't serve the Egyptian. Come serve. Lo Savdu Es Elokei Mitzrayim. V'yakel Avodaso. Come serve the Egyptian God. We'll make your life easier. Mikem. Mashivin Yisrael V'omrim Lahem. V'chishem Ba'azvu Avram Yisrael V'yakel Avoseinu. Did our forefathers abandon their God? That their children should abandon it afterwards. Also, Vamulahem Mitzrim. So this also Vamulahem Mitzrim said, "Love, no, do it." Vamulahem Yisrael loyazu avoseinu eselokenu shemayim. Our forefathers didn't abandon God. Kenanachdu lo nazavosara. So too, we're not going to abandon it. So we're saying we're not. We're going to follow in the footsteps of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because if you reattach yourself to the place in which the Shechina resided, then the Shechina continues to reside. And that's what they were showing the Mitzrayim by not abandoning their language, not abandoning their names. They're saying we're reconnecting to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we are able to maintain the Shechina, the Shechina's presence, as long as we connect back to the past. I think this is important spiritually, but I think it's important on a psychological level. You know, very often when you think you're alone and you're doing this for yourself, so to reconnect to the past is so important. That you're just one piece in this larger cog called Klai Yisrael. You know, Rabbi Lau, if you ever read his book, it's a remarkable book for so many reasons. But one of the things in his book that he keeps talking about is that he's the 36th generation rabbi. And that was what pushed him all along the way. Because he knew he was part of this large chain that connected all the way back to God knows when. I don't know, 36 generations must be, I think it was like 12th century. To know that you're part of this large chain, on a safety level, makes you feel so safe. But he's saying on a spiritual level, it reconnects us back to the Shechina and all the way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One last vart we have time for. And then the Esther Maklis you have in front of you, you can read on your own. But I think, you know, my kids know what to say to her. And Rabbi Willig says this, that you should always repeat your Torahs every year. There's no reason to come up with new ones. It's nice once in a while to come up with a new thing, but like your kids know what's coming, they get a certain smile out of it. So every year, when we get to the part of Vayishma Hashem Es Koleinu, I always yell out, turning point of the game, right? Because what's the turning point of us in Mitzrayim? The turning point is when we started davening for our freedom. So the tefillah is what changed everything. Reb Tzadik says this, Vata'al Shavasam. So Reb Tzadik, in Tzidkas HaTzadik, which is quoted in his Haggadah. The Haggadah he didn't write. They just took all of his Torahs from all the places and they put it together. So it says, Tzvilot Tzarech L'chol Davar. Afal Pisha Nigzer Me Hashem Yisbarach. Fascinating idea. Hashem was already gozer that Klal Yisrael was going to leave Mitzrayim. He had a bris bet of Besar with Avraham Avinu. Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu never, you know, if he promised us it's going to happen. So he promises we're going to take it out. Yet, we see that they only were taken out, it's clear in the Haggadah, after the Tzvilot. So even though there was a gzeira placed upon us that we were going to take it out, nevertheless the tefillah is required. Halotir belio, shemalo Hashem here el achav ve'edna matar. Go to achav and you'll bring rain. V'afal pi kein nemar achar kach she'olir. Even so, even though Hashem promised him, nevertheless Elio goes up to Har Carmel vayegar and he prostrates himself and he davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shehir be tefillah ad shebo hageshem and he mamish davens until there's rain. V'chachamim de amru. The Gzar Din Hu Barash Hashanah of Yom Kippurim. Yeah, everything's already established on Yom Kippur. Why do I have to daven each and every day? You ever wonder that? Take off. That's it. Daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shine finished. Lo pligi Anshe Knesset Gadola Shetiknu Say the Tfilas Bechayom. They're not arguing on Anshe Knesset Gadola, who said that we're supposed to daven each and every day. Because even though it's going to happen, the Gzar Din, it's still waiting for our Tfilah. And the Sefer Shar Mitzvila, he writes this Beferish, He says the Shar B'Tfila. He says that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings many, many rayas to this, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram he's going to have children, he didn't give him children until he davened. Yitzchak, he promised it. The Koyach HaTfila is necessary. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, what Tfila is, it's the key that unlocks the door for the brachas that's behind the door. It's critical. Vayishma Hashem es Kolenu. Again, to me, if you ever want to highlight, there are about six different themes in the Haggadah you want to highlight to your kids. One of the highlights that you want to share with your children is the concept of tefillah. If you turn to the next page, Rav Yeruchim quotes a Ramban in Parashas Bo. He says, "V'yaser mizu katzav Ramban v'zel l'shonim yadua sheyiklai Yisrael Mitzrayim ra'im v'chatoyim od." It's well known that Klai Yisrael was pretty bad. Ubat lugam amila. They didn't even do the mitzvah of mila. Zichsiv vayimru bi v'lo avu l'shmoa elai. They listened to me. They didn't abandon the gods of Egypt. I wanted to throw my anger on them in Mitzrayim. The gullus of 30s. The gullus should have continued. But because they cried out, and they cried in tefillah. And their tefillahs went up to Hashem. And Hashem heard us not akasim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard our tefillahs. Skip to the bold. The time wasn't necessarily up yet. It was supposed to be 400 years, 210 years. Ela shekibol sa'akasim. The koyach ha'tefillah v'nakasim. Mimnei ha'tzar ha'gadol she'yabo. Because of the tzar that was there. So you say he's different than the Mitzadik a little bit. Mitzadik says they were going to get redeemed anyway, but they needed the tefillah. He's saying, no, they wouldn't have been redeemed even without the tefillah, that it hastened the time of the geula. That because they davened earlier. And again, it's one of those themes that I think is critical that you draw out. The power of tefillah. And again, my kids know that when I get to that part of the Seder, always know, turning point to the Seder. So I don't have to say anymore. That's the beauty of being a father. Like at some point, they do make fun of me because kids make fun of fathers, but you get to a point where they know your lines already, then you know they're getting the hashkafa. So we have this one more stick. There's a longer stickle here about the Makis, but you know what? You want to do it? It's up to you. You guys have patience for 5 more minutes? 5 more minutes. Okay, here we go. So the Makos. I'll do it in a. This is another Torah of the Yeruchim. Again, this is a theme that goes through the entire Haggadah, and that is, what is the purpose of the Makos? Right? So you tell me to get the Jews out of Egypt, so I will tell you that God is great, and God doesn't need to do this fancy show of 10 Makos to get the Jews out of Egypt. So what is going on here? He says, "Upshuto nira mikan." So just read the bracketed part. Initially, we think the Pashto says, "Yeah, to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim," and he brings kama v'kama rais. And the Maral writes that as well on the bottom of the Kachatzu Maral b'sefer Derechayim ala Mishnah asar nisim nasu lahotzi osam in bold merit Mitzrayim. Turn the page. But there are two other ideas. There is that of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav says, you know what the purpose of the Makos were? Omnam Yudum Ashakotzev HaGriz. This is the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik. This is the uncle of Rav Soloveitchik that you know from Yeshiva University, right? This is Rav Chaim's son, Shalot Hayubakos Lamatar Shiluach Yisrael Mitzrayim. Ella, this is the reason, Bishvil Anosh Esam Mitzrayim. The purpose of the Makos was that of punitive. The Mitzrayim were bad, they needed to be punished. Tichzi Re'ena Saticha Elokim Leparo. And the Griz explains, Shofet v'rod de l'erdosa b'makos v'yisurin. You have to give the makos v'yisurin when somebody does wrong. Perish adavar ki ha-makos lo yulimata v'ashi yishlu achzam. It wasn't to get us out of Egypt. Rak ki kach nemar brits ben b'sarim. What did it say in the brits ben b'sarim between Avram and Hashem? V'gam es agoy ha-shiyavdu don anochi v'acharei ken yatsu. It was a promise. Hashem made a promise to Avram Avinu that I'm going to judge the nation that oppresses you. So here he is judging them. This is the electric chair, so to speak. So that's the Brisker Rav. Skip to Gimel. Achein, nevertheless, Berishonim Uvarsha O Tachlis Be'Esra Makos. There was another reason of the 10 Makos. Tenexi Vani Ekshes Leif Paro. I'm going to harden the heart of Paro. Virbeitzi Es Osai Sai. And I'm going to make a lot of signs. Vesmovsai Beretz Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Tovli Sheyishkasha Libo. It's good that I harden the heart of Paro, Leman Hirbos Bo Ososai, in order to increase my signs, Vatekira Osam Es Gvurasi, so everybody should see my greatness. So it comes out clear from Rashi, what was the purpose of the Makos? To show God. This is me! Look, the world, I'm here! I'm doing a Makis. It wasn't just I'm a magic show. It was to show the world that God exists. Skip to the next paragraph. He quotes the Ramban. He says, Shiyodu mitrim es gvurasi. Ski by the bold over there. Lo sha'an yishotam yosrim they are covered as. And not to punish them more than anything. Vod kadei shetisaper ata v'chol yisrael ledorus haboyim. Koach ma'asi v'teidu ki ani Hashem. The Makis were there to show and to signify that I am the God. V'chol ha'she'echmotz eseh b'shamayos. I can do whatever I wish in heaven and earth. The talkus of the Makas, I saw Lavola HaKarish of Yadatim Yigan Hashem. The whole purpose of the Makas was to show that I am God. So now we have, seemingly, two different conflicting ideas. On the one hand, the Makas was to punish the Mitzrayim as promised in Brit Ben Basarim. That's what the Brit Skorov says. On the other hand, the Rishonim Rashi and Ramban both say the whole purpose of the Makas was to show God, look what I could do, I control heaven and earth, nobody else does. So how do you reconcile those two? So skip to Dalit. Venira, Venira Lavar, the Ains Estira Ledivre Hagris. This is not contradictory to what the Briskerov said. Hanal, Shakasif, the Makas Bo B'Shila Enosh Mitzrim. Yes, the Makas came to punish the Mitzrim. The Imishum Ma'onesh Lo Yakadosh Baruch Hu Manshin Be'Osos Niflos Gedolos Kele. If it was just to punish the Mitzrim, he wouldn't have done it in this crazy way, where these 10 unbelievable signs which changed heaven and earth, put fire and war together. They never act together. The reason why they were punished in this manner, shel shidur marachas hateva, the way he changed nation hayday kedei legalus amunaso ba'olam, was to show amuna in this veld, and that's what explains with the Medrash Shmuel. Sheikra hamakas lo yurak kedei lefarisim shmo ba'olam. The purpose of the makas was to show God's name in this world, like it says in pasuk uleman saper shmi b'chol haaretz, to show my name in the whole world. Shem kavanas hamakos haisa kedei lekayim v'gamis agoyah sheyavdu dan aroch. He was just to punish the Mitzrayim. Hayyachol lahamis osam kisha. He could have just killed them one fell swoop. Raka kavan haisa kedei lasos asar nisim. We'll do 10 miraculous ways and punish them in that way. V'yesh lefarsha heyu bahem beza and yonim. There were two ideas coming together at once. Now this next paragraph is gold. V'yesh levayar sheshnei and yonim olim b'kan echad. Both of these ideas come together in one read. Da'onesh hamagil paro. What punishment did Paro deserve more than anything else? Lo hayarak al masha hevid es yisrael b'avodas parak. It wasn't because he tortured the Jews in a manner, giving them b'avodas parak. The craziest thing, he made the men do the women's work and he made the women do the men's work. Lo yaleinu. Avodas parak, waste of time. El al masha kofar b'zeh b'Hashem. Why is Paro punished more than anything else? Because he denied Hashem. Who is this God that I should listen to him? So that caused the vacuum of God's name. That he always said, I'm God. And Rabbeinu Bechai Zal Amar Lehem, Anihu Adon Olam. I am the one who runs the world. I create everything. The idea of the Makos are, is the very person who denied God, through him, God says, I'm going to show that I am the one who's God. I am going to punish him by showing him that I am the one who's God. This is the very idea of all 10 Makas. All 10 Makas, yeah, it's a great light show and you throw frauds to the kids. But the ultimate image that you want to leave over is the ultimate act of Amunah. That through the one who denied God, God showed that he is God. He punished him by showing the greatest light show in history. By showing that he is the one who controls. And this is what the Rabbi Yeruchim is explaining, that the idea of the Makas is not just to punish the Mitzrayim, and it's specifically to show God's existence, but to show God's existence to the one who denied God's existence. And that's the ultimate Midim, Keneged Midim. We just began Nisan, we just began the time of the Geula. That should be the time that we have for Geula, Mirtz Hashem, that through learning and through teaching to the kids, that our eventual Geula should happen. Thank you for coming.